What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. We got a good mood going here on a Wednesday, don't we? General at your service. If you see me, bear me N.A. on that. Still, 10 years running. I could really use one some of these nights, boy, I tell you. There's Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, Super Bowl champion here. He's got Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and 635. Fixing to go five flawless. Like it's nothing. The man has it stuck on automatic producing, engineering, and hosting. Of course, you got Eric Chiafalo, and you have Zach Wolchuk. You can follow us all at G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Go there. Our handles are in the bio. And we'd salute you for that. Okay, so thank you so much. We do have the latest on the Cowboys DC search. They've put in the request to interview an Eagle. I mean, you must be a hell of a coach if they're going to tap into those waters.
Yeah.
Let me just say that right off the rib. I think it's also cool if he is an ascending, difference-making defensive mind that you take him from Philadelphia. Obviously, he's done a tremendous job working in Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. Is that his crown achievement in the Super Bowl year? He stepped in there 2024. They win the Super Bowl. He was part of that great brain trust of coaches that got the job done there in Philadelphia. So his era is pointing up, as Jerry Jones would say.
It sure is. And as I mentioned during cross, Cody Alexander immediately reaches out. Of course, we had him on Monday. If you want to go back and listen to that, it's a podcasted segment there, and he's awesome. Like, this, it's crazy. You and I were talking off air. Like, he is just plugged into every single team in the NFL, can just regurgitate all the information. He's a film junkie, but he's really good when it comes to these defensive schemes. And he was given a lot of praise to Parker, and he's a guy that's been coaching since the age of 22. I know Jordan Schultz has talked about that. He really has worked his way up, but I do love the idea of possibly just poaching from your rival, and especially a guy that has done tremendous things helping build what was one of the worst secondaries in the league and made that into the strength for that football team. He's a guy that at safety, you know, this is a defense that I think needs an overhaul there, and he has had a really good eye for talent at that position. And has done a good job when it comes to marrying, you know, various schemes. I think the Fangio thing, look, if you go back and you ask Dak Prescott what's given him trouble, Vic Fangio certainly was one that did that. You know, Dick's scheme over there is one that I think is applauded and one that I think a lot of quarterbacks would agree with Dak. Like, yeah, this dude is one of the best minds that we've seen in the NFL for decades now. So you're able to get a guy that has that, plus Evero, Mike Pettin, in his resume. I think he's certainly... I like a lot of the names they're bringing in here, man.
Yeah.
I think they're doing an excellent job.
And you guys had that great bit going last year with Dick Fangio being in the Super Bowl. Is that still in play, you think, this year?
I don't think so, unless maybe we could find a way to wedge Dick into really any conversation if we want to.
My favorite use of what you were doing, I almost said it. But my favorite use of it was when...
Our dick usage?
Yeah. Was when I caught myself. I'm so proud of myself, right?
You did.
I almost said what you just said.
You definitely didn't yesterday, though.
That's why you're the current
G-bag of the day.
Yeah. Got ball sacked there. The thing... I think my favorite use of it was Merrill Reese when you did it with Philadelphia. We were interviewing Merrill pregame show, and Chief went straight in. Well, you know old Dick Fangio, and he said it like four times, and Merrill then goes, you know, Vic, one of the better corners, Vic has done a fine job being, and he kept going in.
Emphasizing
the Vic part of it, and Chief just was relentless, and he kept saying Dick.
Yeah,
he wouldn't stop.
Yeah, I think if we end up hiring this guy, then we could find a way at Radio Row to be like, hey, we got a guy from the Dick Fangio tree. You know, what do you think about the Cowboys' new DC?
Boom. It's alive.
Easy money.
Maybe they haven't hired a guy yet, which I think would be surprising. But then we can definitely ask about that. Like, what kind of defensive coordinator would you be looking at? Whose tree is the best tree? Is Dick's tree the strongest tree out there?
Ooh. It's hard to say otherwise.
Next level. Okay, this guy also retracing the Brian Broaddus steps in a couple of ways. Christian Parker, he's Eagles passing game coordinator. He's been at A&M, and he's been with the Packers. He actually entered the NFL with Green Bay as a defensive quality control coach in 2019.
Yeah.
And then he went on to Denver. Then in 2024, he went to Philly there and reunited with Vic Fangio from his time in Denver. So is this like a Vic Fangio disciple, if you will? Sounds like it might be.
Yep.
So that's pretty cool there. He's also been at Virginia State and Norfolk State. You ever been down to those parts, Brian?
Scott? I have. And there's a lot of football players in that area. A lot of football players. But, hey, Genghis 7 guy worked with this guy.
Ooh, nice.
And he goes, listen, I thought this guy knew coverages really, really well. Loved his personality. Very sharp. Players loved being around him. Felt like he could have been a really, really good coach for us. This guy interviewed him a couple years ago for a defensive coordinator job. So one of my general manager buddies, I figured he'd been with him. He said, no, I wasn't with him, but I interviewed him.
Okay.
And I said, well, what'd you like about the guy? And he offered a couple of insights. Anything you want to know? I mean, well, I got him on the text. Is there anything you want to know about the guy? I mean, they did an interview. I mean,
is he ready for the next step?
All right, let me ask that. It's a good question. Yeah.
Like, he's a play caller. Do you think that he'd be able to call defense?
Yeah. Teacher? Teacher? Yeah. I know they're looking for that.
Yeah. Okay, let me see. Teacher, ready? Kind of thing? Ready?
Yeah. Is he ready? You think he's ready?
Yep.
Yeah, you know, I think that's huge, and that's why Shoddy emphasized it, because it is one thing as we're going through this schematic evolution on both sides of the ball to know what you need to do, but can you explain it to your players? Can you observe your players and pick out the fine details that aren't adding to the completion of the execution of what you're asking everybody to do? Can you coordinate it and synchronize it so, you know, things are hitting in the right sequence? And you know, that is so much different than me being able to draw it up on a chalkboard. So, you know, and then you have to go to, can I stand up here and be patient with these guys and not lose my bleep? You know, I think that'd be one of the hardest things to do. And one of the great talents is like the emotional IQ to not kind of get lost in it or get wrapped up and get too emotional with it. So it's a big step, but I prefer to be looking for guys who are young and unproven when it comes to schematic evolution stuff. I'm not saying like the older guys can't do it, but the young guys, it's just native to them. Like, they've been learning football partially through the internet their entire lives. You know, so Googling it or querying ChatGPT on what these guys are doing or what those guys are doing and falling in love with the process of trying to find what you don't know, acknowledging what you don't know is the way, I think you know, one of the great advantages of going with a young up and coming coach as opposed to a guy that might be stuck in his ways, which is what we just experienced. And we probably have experienced to some extent with Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy, Rod Marinelli, Monty Kiffin. Like, it's been a long, long train of that. Mm-hmm. And I know Jerry was talking even as far back as probably 7 or 8 years ago when he elevated Kellen Moore. Like, he wants the new. You know, this isn't like something totally foreign to the Jones family. They just probably lagged behind 5 or 6 years before they lucked into, you know, having Shoddy to at least do it for the offensive side of the ball with his hires. And now we just need to see them follow through with that on defense. And I think at that point, there's a pretty good chance you'll have the coaching components better figured out than you have in a long time. Maybe going back to like Wade Phillips, I don't know, maybe North Turner. When you want to go back to, do we have schemes that are putting ourselves in the best position in the context of how this game has evolved and how play calling has evolved? So I think that part's exciting. You still need good players. And as Houston is putting on a clinic right now, you don't need the schematic evolution if you can get good enough players. But in between now and then, I think it's going to be crucial to find ways to smoke and mirror your way to victory a little bit. Okay.
Well, real quick, too. Yeah. Okay, I got a guy that was with him at Notre Dame, and this goes all the way back. And because I knew this guy was on the Notre Dame staff. He said, I asked him, I said, hey, tell me about this guy. He says, I love his passion for the game. He's really, really smart. Great teacher, is what he said. He said communication was really, really key for this guy. He said he's really patient with these guys. And when they would ask questions, he would articulate answers.
Perfect.
So, yeah, it sounds like to me that he would try to explain things in different ways so it was relatable. That's cool. That's the thing that he's saying. But this was when he was at Notre Dame. This, I think, 2017. But he was like a young coach then.
Okay.
So he's kind of developing his game. So good for him.
A lot of good candidates out there. We'll continue to track this bad boy. What are we now? Seven deep? Seven DC candidates deep?
Yeah, when you add in Charlie Bullen as well from the Giants, who they've requested to interview.
I didn't see that report. Who had that one?
Yeah, Charlie Bullen. I think Archer had that one. Several others were reporting that. I think Jordan Schultz was in on that. But he ended up being the Giants' interim head coach towards the end of this year. He was their outside linebacker coach before that. He's been in the league for 18 seasons. So Bullen's one of those guys. And I also wonder, like, could they be looking at possible staff, like position coaches, depending on whoever they do decide as a coordinator hire. Like if any of these guys end up being out of a job, like we don't know what's going to happen with the staff there in New York.
That's how you remember Jeff Sugina, the defensive line coach.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how he got the job? I'm probably saying something you guys don't remember, but it was they interviewed Ron Rivera for the defensive coordinator job, and Ron Rivera brought up that if he came, Jeff Sugina would be his defensive line coach. That's how Jeff got the job, because they interviewed Rivera, didn't give him the job, but remembered that Ron Rivera said this was a guy, to take a look at.
Well, I love it. You know, even if you're just getting these guys in from inside the division to learn more about what makes some of those players tick and what people over there are thinking, like there's just so many advantages to the way Shoddy's going about it right now. Stars' late rally fell short. Bully Melrose, I think, made an appearance yesterday at this time and sort of read, brought us the riot act for doubting that the Stars would get the dub here, but the Ducks snapped a 9-game losing streak.
Just ridiculous. You know, just disgusting performance by the Dallas Stars. To lose that game was terrible. Don't smirk at me. You know a damn thing about the Ducks over here, Ryan, okay?
Your negative
attitude was right for a night. Congratulations. You want a sticker? I'll give you a gold star, bye-bye.
I kind of feel like that you were the guy championing Pittsburgh on Monday night. I feel like I've kind of got you twice.
You have not gotten me twice because I flip-flopped and went with Blake on Houston. So call me flip flop Wooly Bully for this week.
It was a buzzer beater flip, man. It was perfectly timed.
But I do have you on Patriots Texans, and I will give you your meatball sub if indeed the Texans win.
I'm a Texans. I'm a Texans believer on defense. And I'll be happy to make 4 meatball subs when if I lose this one.
Actually, should you just make yourself the meatball sub? Because whatever meatball sub I get, you probably won't be as good as the one that you make yourself. Let me know where you want it.
No, Wolchuk handcrafted meatball sub to Brian Broaddus.
Okay. I'll whip some up.
Is there a chance?
I'll get in the kitchen.
Some ragu.
Is there a chance?
Some frozen meatballs.
Well, I'm not going to have to do it because the Patriots are going to win. But what, that I could actually make a good one?
I kind of feel like that if Chief had to do it, Mama Chiafalo would be involved.
Oh, well, there's no question. Yeah, I'd be phoning a friend.
I would kind of hope that Chief would take the bet, and then the Patriots just completely fall apart.
Yeah.
And then Eric goes, hey, Mom, I got myself in a little trouble. I need 4 meatball subs for the boys.
I might just have to dial up the mother-in-law.
There you go.
She's an outstanding cook.
There you go.
Yeah, you got to outsource this thing.
Yeah. But I don't know. It might be kind of fun to try.
Yeah, you can make it.
It wouldn't be fun to try and eat it.
I'm too damn lazy.
Eric is learning how to use YouTube for his grilling purposes. Am I right over there?
Yeah, dude. It's all up in my algorithm now. I'm officially the most amateur pit meat man that you know. And it's a lot of fun. It really is. Had a great pork butt over the weekend.
By the way, Dawson, can I say thanks to Tim and Carthage, by the way, too?
Oh, yes.
Oh, the ice maker has arrived.
We have ice.
What a legend.
Just thank you, Tim, so much for being a great teammate. Really appreciate it.
Green tea on the rocks.
On the rocks.
It is happening here, ladies and gentlemen.
It looks like I'm drinking just straight, like I'm drinking like...
Yeah, like a beer or something.
Like Scott of Golnick is what But no, I'm really not. I'm having a good time here with my green tea.
It looks good,
with
man.
Ice.
I'm
with
glad
ice.
He's back. Uh-huh. The ice green tea man, Brian Broaddus, is back. While we're doing shout outs, man, I want to get in 60 seconds on soccer real quick.
Please.
Here. And tell me if this story is interesting to you at all, because it made my day this morning when I woke up and got this text from this mom, former player of mine. Okay, the story is last night, Princeton High School girls up there north of McKinney, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't won a game in 2 years.
They're blaming you for the drought?
Last year, they scored one goal. okay? Last night in steps, Victoria King, freshman.
All right.
Tallies a hat trick.
There we go.
Princeton wins 3-1.
Wow.
Remember like 3 or 4 years ago I told you about this Tolo who texted me during the show, like, my daughter's a goalkeeper and you should also look at this kid?
Uh-huh.
It was her. So
really?
Cool.
That is awesome.
That's some Tolo scouting
there. That's a proud moment right there. Hey,
that's developing athletes right there. Yeah. That's what that is.
Matt Eberflus is jealous.
This girl, you just got to put her on the field and point her towards the goal. She was that magical.
We need to get a piece of the Dawson coaching tree.
Right? Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on the fan. We got G-Bag of the Day champ on the other side. Then Woolchuck's top 10 of 220. Buddy, where are you taking it?
Well, happy National Hot Pastrami Sandwich Day.
Wow.
I got sandwiches for you. We'll do the top 10 best regional sandwiches in the U.S. 877-881-1053. What's your regional sandwich goat? That's next in the nation.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Shoot, yeah, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Woolchuck's top 10 here in just a second after the G-Bag of the Day champion currently held by Broadus. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius.
There he is. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan. Hold on, I don't even feel like explaining myself.
Each weekday at 5:30, Gavin, Lucius, and the guys bring you the G-Bag of the Day. The craziest audio sent in from you and all of the Tolos. That's every day at 5:30 and replayed the next day at 2:30.
Yep.
Driven by East Dallas Diesel and East Dallas Motor Cars.
I already explained for you our winner and champ right here. Day one going for two is a G-Bag Nation combo pack. Mr. Brian Broadus, we found out yesterday he has a little sack.
Any new names to be aware of right now? We got an interview going down with Zach Oren. Jonathan Gannon is the latest.
I was told they're working on names. I got a little ball sack though. I asked about a guy. There was.
Do you?
What? That's random.
Thank you for sharing, Brian.
Oh, I did. I got fooled. What are you supposed to say?
What are you supposed to say? I got fooled. I got a little ball sack. That's what you say when you get fooled, right? I got a little ball sack.
Yeah. That's the only option you have.
That's the only option I had.
And I did say this is a combo pack. Mr. Woolchuck right here. You know, we're trying to find a new coach out here in Dallas, so we're going to do our due diligence.
You got Mara secretly meeting with him at his house, trying to just do due diligence.
Due diligence. We got to remember that. You got to use it. When we say due diligence, we have to say due diligence. It's going to be hard to get in our brains, but we have to get that. Due diligence.
It's not easy to be that incompetent, but we will find a way.
Don't do that.
We'll find a way.
Oh, yeah. We got this.
Don't do that, bro.
It's called getting your fiber where I'm from. Due diligence.
Okay.
Hey, we got the champ facing challengers every night at 5:30 before we get to LA Live. Right now, here's Woolchuck in his top 10.
All right, we're going to get to the top 10 best regional sandwiches across the United States. Happy Hot Pastrami Day. Mm. Asked Coach A, Cody Alexander, about this Charlie Bullen cat, who Mike Garofolo was first on the Cowboys requesting interview from the Giants. Not super familiar, but from what he's seen and what he's researched so far, 3-4 base guy, high cover one guy, and he's been one of these that kind of follows the Belichick tree. So Bill Belichick is one of the coaches that he certainly looks up to and admires, and schematically you'll see some similarities there in the way that he calls defense. So I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing right now. It was a great thing historically, but I don't know how people feel about Bill as a coach. As a DC mind, I think I still feel great about him.
Yeah. I mean, if he was with Dick Fangio, that's a plus, right?
Absolutely, well, that is.
I mean,
if anything,
you can learn how, like, Dick Fangio is able to, like, stop Dak.
Yep.
Like, pick how'd that guy's brain. Dick? How do you stop Dak? I mean, when you guys are thinking about playing Dak, how do you stop it?
What do you know, Dick?
Yeah. Get up on the board and show us.
Shout out to our guy Jay from Argyle Fine Wine and Spirits. It's his wife's birthday.
Happy birthday
to Jamie. She's listening. Turned her into a Tolo for life. Asked her to marry her. And she said yes, or asked her to marry him,
I should say.
It's not a her and a her.
Would you like to marry yourself,
Jay,
honey?
Jamie. Yeah, would you like to marry yourself?
I wouldn't blame you if you did.
I think there might be some that would. Absolutely. They love you. They love themselves. All right, let's get to sandwich talk. If you had to pick one regional sandwich that you could just have every day for the rest of your life, which sandwich are you going with?
Damn.
Chop brisket.
Got the chop brisket sando. I mean, you are a brisket sando guy.
Yeah.
How many you put down so far in 2026?
I don't know. It's early in 2026. I don't know if I've had one yet, Wolchuk.
Oh,
might be a little bit behind schedule.
That's an upset for sure.
14 days in, no brisket sando.
And by the way, you know, I don't think you really want the sliced brisket sandwich. You know, chopped. you want to get all the fat and the bark mixed in, so every bite has a little bit of that.
Well, outside brown.
I agree.
I'm a chopped guy too.
And he gets it.
Yeah.
Give me the Cuban.
Ooh. Okay.
Po' boy.
I figured you'd go with the po' boy.
Po' boy, I like it.
My next one would be, though, I'll tell you what, the regional sandwich, the Philly cheese.
It'd be the Philly cheese.
Yeah, the Philly cheesesteak would be
divine. And I think that you have to think about Cat's Deli in New York.
See, I've never been, but I definitely
want to go. The
pastrami,
the corned beef.
Yeah.
And they pile it up for you.
Yeah.
So I would think those would be the ones I would think about.
You would rather have that than a smoked brisket sandwich?
A po' boy?
The pastrami and the... You were just mentioning
there. I love the fact that you always bring in sandwiches from Pecan Lodge.
Yeah.
It's one of the best sandwiches I've ever had in my life. I think that I am a bigger fan of the pastrami sandwich than I am the brisket sandwich.
Wow.
I got to have me one of these sandwiches.
I got to get that. Give me the hot pastrami, some nice Jewish rye bread, Russian dressing.
Yeah.
Maybe add a little coleslaw on there. Now we're talking, boys.
Because the brisket
sando.
Just
completely turned Dawson off is what we did.
Brisket sando is hard to beat.
It is.
Well, the Russian dressing and some things. I mean, I'm sure I could dress it up my way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's a screaming endorsement. I want to get these flown in.
I know.
Yeah,
you know?
I'll tell you another one.
Right down the street.
I'll tell you another one.
They might do a good one. We can try it out.
Yeah. I'll tell you another sandwich that... It's highly expensive, but it's really good, and I could probably eat one every day. The lobster roll,
yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah, it's strong.
I could with the right bread, the lobster, the sweetness of the lobster, and all, man, crazy.
So they opened up this place called Angie's in Plano. They do $10 lobster rolls.
I'd question the validity of how quality the lobster.
That's their
is.
Thing,
is that
though.
Faux lobster.
It's all about they do high quality ingredients, but they're trying to sell it to you at an affordable price. That's like their whole brand.
I kind of wonder.
A tiny piece.
I kind of wonder.
I don't know.
If it's imitation lobster.
No, I don't believe
imitation.
It is. I don't believe it is. I think it's legit lobster, legit crab, and that's like their whole branding deal.
So
and they're
it's
crushing
ten,
right
10
now.
Bucks a sandwich.
Yeah.
Then
yeah.
Anybody
they also do salads, and if anybody's ever been there, I've driven by. I haven't gone since it's open, but it is usually very busy.
How about the hot chicken sandwich?
Oh, the Nashville hot chicken?
Yeah.
Nashville.
Palmer's. It's really
big
good.
Fan. You got 214 Cindy's Reuben, effing good.
It is
I'm
good.
With, you.
With the pickle.
Yep. Get a little pickle on the side there.
Chips.
You also check out Dino Subs. Somebody always texts in when we're doing sandwiches.
Dino's.
Dino's. Dino's Subs in Arlington, hole-in-the-wall place. Good spot from the 817.
Our place in Grapevine we talk about, Eric, right?
Yeah, Weinburgers.
Weinburgers is really
good.
How
often do you go into Weinburgers?
I used to bring you guys sandwiches from Weinburgers.
Was that where the meatball sub was from?
No, I made that. I was there was a couple of sandwiches I did.
I think you got them from Kenny's.
Yeah, you did bring one in from Kenny's.
Kenny's, I did. Yeah, Kenny's Italian is pretty darn good off Beltline. Yeah.
It's a great spot right there. We've got other people with the Mexican torta. Mexican torta would be
fine. I've never had one in my life. Can you tell me what we're eating?
It's really good. I mean, yeah, it's usually going to be like the asada steak.
Okay.
And then it'll have like the crema and like lettuce, and that's pretty much all I got for you.
What's the vessel?
It's like giant bread.
Oh,
It's like a big It's a big sandwich.
Okay, so tortas is a sandwich too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I've always liked tortas, but I didn't know
it was
a sandwich as well.
I
learned that
know.
Today.
There you go.
Yeah. Shout out to the tortas, man.
Fan of both.
Which regional sandwich are you selecting?
So is regional not our favorite or something we can eat every day? I've been hearing two little conversations going here.
Yeah. The list will be regional, but you could go with whatever you want.
I'm saying the one I would eat every day and not care is a tuna fish sandwich. Okay. A certain way, though. I want onions in that thing.
Yeah.
I want you to season that thing up for me. Oh my God!
Are you a celery guy?
Eggs.
Everything hard-boiled eggs. Get oh my gosh, a tuna fish sandwich.
Because
sometimes you can just scoop it with a cracker and eat it. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, it's banging, bro.
But the regional, I like a hoagie.
Yeah,
a Cosby Show hoagie. My grandpa used to make them hoagies for us.
You
want a hoagie? Hell yeah, grandpa!
Give me the hoagie. Cousins Lobster Truck, absolute dynamite from the 332. Somebody did text in about Angie, said it's a solid lobster roll. So there
okay,
we go.
Okay, but feedback. We're talking $10, huh?
$10, $9.99.
That's good.
Angie's Lobster Roll, solid from the 214.
There you go.
Angie's owns the boats for lobsters from the 907. So there you go. Maybe that's
okay,
how they
so
can
they're
do
going
it
from
price.
Water to counter.
Bought up the supply chain.
Making it happen.
There we go. All right, that works.
All right, so here are your honorable mentions, the best regional sandwiches across the U.S. You've got Loose Meat Sandwich in the Midwest. It is from Montana, mostly now served in Iowa. The Loose Meat Sandwich certainly isn't much to look at, and it's not. But it is a deconstructed hamburger and a sloppy Joe. Typically involves seasoned, crumbled ground beef with onions served on a bun with options such as pickles, mustard, ketchup, or cheese. Who doesn't want to eat a lazy man's version of a burger?
So it's the ground beef sandwich.
So it's somewhere between a sloppy Joe and a hamburger?
Yeah, a chopped burger.
Loose meat. Okay. Yeah. In Montana State, one of the three I've yet to go to.
Hot Brown Sandwich from Kentucky.
That's Kentucky.
Is on here.
That's an open face one.
It begins with thick slices of toasted bread piled high with turkey, cheese,
bacon.
Tomato, bacon,
yep.
And finished off with paprika and either parsley or chives to garnish.
There's a thing called a Marnay sauce, I think, that goes with it, too.
You're right. And it's the cheese. It's the Marnay cheese.
Marnay's cheese.
And it does look a little
baked.
Wet. It's like
it's
dripped.
Baked.
Yeah, it's like dripping.
Yeah.
Open face. Like there's no top bread. There's no bookend.
Open face. It sits flat on the bread.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they have the bread. So it's just no top. No,
so you're,
no
eating,
top.
You're knife and fork in this bad
yeah,
boy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And the last honorable mention on the outside looking in is the pit beef sandwich from Baltimore.
Baltimore.
Pit beef. The sandwich is traditionally made.
Pit beef.
Man.
Nobody said the Italian beef sandwich, though, by the way, Chicago, right?
Are we
going to get ready to do that?
That'll be pretty high on here. The people love their Italian beef
that.
From this list.
Sorry about that.
Cheap cut of beef, such as top ground, grilled over a charcoal pit until almost burnt. The top layers are then sliced off, and the beef is placed back on the grill until it reaches a finished yet rare state. Then pulled. You put it on the bun with tiger sauce, a mix of mayo and horseradish, and topped with raw onion.
Tiger style.
Tiger. Number 10, best regional sandwiches on National Hot Pastrami Day. Nashville Hot Chicken.
There you go.
From Nashville. I don't think we need a description there. We know what that is. 9 is the pork tenderloins.
This is Indiana, right?
I cannot speak.
Yeah, this is what my family does.
This is, yeah,
the breaded pork tenderloin sandwich.
Yeah, that's Indiana.
Rushing.
Yeah. I've had one of these.
It's big. This looks like a big old sandwich.
Shout out to Aunt Nancy. She just sold Nick's Country Kitchen in Huntington, Indiana.
Made a fat bag, didn't she?
She did, dude. She was about to shut it down. And she actually announced we're closing our doors because none of the kids wanted to take it over. And then some guy was like, well, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
And she got like what she wanted.
Triple D next week.
Good for her. So it was like, hello, retirement.
8 is the po' boy, Brian.
Yep.
From New Orleans.
I'm surprised it's that low, but I'm okay. It's in the top 10.
Po' boy over the muffaletta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You saw at the Super Bowl, I was crushing those.
Yeah.
Muffalettas, yeah.
I guess my deal with the po' boy is the bread can be dry.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You
got to make sure
the
bread is good.
Soft. I'm the big soft bread guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, give me that. I guess I need to go to
the right
spot.
There'll people that will toast it. But, man, like I say, you can put so many things on it with the fried shrimp. You know, I mean, there's a lot you can do.
Yeah, and the shrimp
crawfish,
which pictured here,
stuff, yeah.
With the pickles, tomato, lettuce.
I'll tell you, cheeseburger po' boy, not bad.
Oh.
Place in Baton Rouge called George's. It's under the bridge. It's got a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. I mean, it's literally under the bridge. It's under I-10. Yeah.
If you're going to get a sandwich called a po' boy, you're definitely going to get it under a bridge. Uh-huh. Probably be better right there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that po' boy.
Some dude and his dog served it to you.
Man, DJ took us to this spot deep into New Orleans, and it was you know, one of those places that's a local type of deal, and it was a total neighborhood spot. Like, people were literally walking in with their dogs, and they were hammered.
Was this the place we went? This is the place that
I can't remember what it was
called. Was right on the corner of in like a neighborhood.
Yeah, it was it a bar? Did it have a bar?
Yeah, there was
on one
a bar
side
next to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And there was just a window you went up.
Yeah,
yes.
That,
yes.
Exactly.
That's exactly the same place. We got the muffaletta. We got the. You got us. What were those balls?
Boudin balls.
Yeah. And then I think we got crawfish pies.
Crawfish pies.
Those were delicious.
Yeah, I ordered everything.
7 is the Beck on Weck from Buffalo.
Beck on Weck.
Beck on Weck. It's like the pit beef sandwich.
But
this
toast?
Starts with rare roast beef. Also involves a horseradish spread.
Ooh.
But it also typically involves au jus for dipping. And most importantly, is served on a Kummel Weck roll. That's why it's the beef on Weck. Which is topped with kosher salt, caraway seeds, and provides both additional flavor and texture. Very underrated sandwich. Six is the lobster roll.
Mass.
Five is the pulled pork from North Carolina.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Is that too tart?
It's too vinegary. Yeah,
the vinegary. Ugh.
Vinegar, yeah.
Four is the Cuban sandwich, Miami.
I'm Cuban, B.
Mm. Those are so fire, bro.
We should probably do Cuban sandwiches on Monday, shouldn't we, for the Natty?
Oh, yes.
Just in honor of the national championship.
Absolutely.
Let's just go full Cuban sandwich.
Well, we could double dip, and we could do the fried pork Indiana sandwich,
pork
too.
Chop, yeah. Pork chop sandwich.
Whatever the heck that thing
pork
was.
Pork tenderloin.
Yeah.
Pork tenderloin. Yeah, deep fried. I got all the equipment. We might give that a go. I'm not pulling for Indiana, though. I'm just not.
No, good. I'm glad.
I'm sorry, Dawson. I know that's your family.
Did they do something to you?
No, I just...
You just want Miami to win?
Man, I just...
I think both are going to be great stories.
I don't know, man. I kind of feel like Chief's uncle needs to see another Natty.
Just, yeah.
Couldn't agree more. Uncle Lou, he deserves it.
What would Uncle Lou do?
He's out there by the pool smoking a cig, waiting for everybody to show up. That's your uncle? That's the guy?
Yeah. Oh, no, that's my grandpa.
Oh, that's your grandpa. I'm pulling for him, too.
He's on meds, too.
My man was just sitting on the diving board, just like with a heater, waiting for everybody to show up.
Yeah, coffee and a heater. That was breakfast on Christmas morning.
And shout out to this guy, 817. He's got a shellfish allergy, but he still loves the fried gator po' boy. Just says, I don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Give it to me. Bit Peef, y'all dummies. Pastry Chef Eric checking in. We love you.
Oh, yeah, there's Eric.
We love you.
Baltimore.
Are you stupid?
Yeah.
You stupid? The Italian beef from Chicago is at 3.
There you go.
The pastrami or corned beef on rye from New York at number 2.
Awesome, I'm telling you, man.
But number 1.
Change your life.
The Philly cheesesteak.
Yep.
They also have the roast pork sandwich from Philadelphia.
That's 2 of them.
Okay, I hear about that. I hear some people that talk about the pork sandwich up there. It's actually like the more heady play that the veterans around town
large
will actually...
pork shoulders that are roasted for hours in the oven before being cooled. Then they're sliced, reheated in their own drippings, piled into a nice, preferably seeded Italian roll, topped with either spinach or the personal favorite broccoli rabe. And sharp provolone to create a truly magical bite. I don't think... Would you be in on that?
No. I still haven't heard a single thing better than a chopped brisket sandwich.
Fair enough.
A slice of cheese. Brisket didn't even make it for regional? Is it not regional?
I can't believe that the brisket sandwich did not make it.
I feel like the brisket sandwich is a Texas staple.
Rowdy had something to do with this list, didn't he?
He might have.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Woolchuck. It was fun nonetheless.
I hope you enjoyed it.
Time now for a college football darty.
Yes, sir. Crack them if you got them. The Canes are big-time underdogs, and we got some big-time quarterback chatter in college football next year.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back from my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Mavs fans, we have Tim Cato coming up at 3 o'clock to talk about what comes next. And in the upcoming 3 weeks here, crucial time for the Mavs here to try to get it right. Tim Cato is going to join us from All City, break everything down. Here's Chief with your college football darty.
Yes, sir. Plenty to get to right after this.
Looky here. Mr. Cold Turkey put a mini booze bottle in his headset.
I've never filmed any of you guys when you're using the bathroom, so I don't know what faces you make when you're doing that.
Special teams, fucking joke.
I want them never to say our name again!
Well, I don't get... Ray Van Cole.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much stress.
Congratulations to former TCU head football coach Gary Patterson for being in the 2026 College Football Hall of Fame class.
Class, huh?
That's right.
I know Brian voted for him.
It's
one of his favorites.
One of your all-time favorite human beings.
Of the three coaches that I worked for that were the hardest to work for, I worked for Parcells, Coughlin, and Patterson. He was the hardest one to work for.
He was perpetual the a-hole?
Hardest guy to work for. It never was good enough.
Was the pressure getting to him, you think?
I don't know. No, we were rolling along pretty good. This is 2007 when I went and worked with him, and I'm probably not the best guy to work with either.
Sure,
but I know one thing though. When
sure
his style
was awful. I mean, his style of the way he treated people was awful. And I'd been on some really good staffs where he had a good staff of coaches. He had some really good evaluators there. But the way that he went about his job, and I get, you know, TCU's had a lot of success with him. You know, I probably wasn't the best for him either. But just work, like I say, if I had to say the guys that was the hardest to work with and get along with and understand, and I worked with three of the toughest, he was by far the worst. Mm.
Wow. That's saying something.
Yeah.
That's saying something.
He probably said the same thing about me. I mean, but I'm cool with that. You know, I mean, I was working with them in recruiting and all that, and you know, I had some ideas as being a scout and how to evaluate. They do a great job. Their meetings were good. They had some really, I mean, he had a really good eye for players and stuff. I respect him for that. But his people skills were awful, you know. And I think that that's unfortunate. I think that, and he won a lot of games at TCU, and I think there's a lot of people that were like, when it was time to go, when he left, they were probably pretty happy he was gone. To be honest with you.
Well, now he's gone and into the Hall of Fame he goes, college football style.
Yep.
You also have guys like Aaron Donald, Mark Ingram, Ndamukong Suh, James Laurinaitis, which I think might be the one seed for linebacker names.
James Laurinaitis was a really good player at Ohio State.
He was solid.
I think with Buffalo Bills, if I'm not mistaken.
Jags? Rams?
Yeah, Rams.
Was it Rams?
I think he bounced around a little bit.
He spent some time, yeah.
I'm thinking of all, maybe I was wrong about the Bills. But.
Well, Dante Moore announced that he is returning to Oregon. He's going to be a top two or three
pick.
Wow,
player I didn't scout already and go back to school. Oregon's had three guys that could have been in the draft. And I want to say all three of them, you had probably a first-round grade and two second-round grades, maybe, Woolchuck?
Yeah, I mean, Dante Moore, I didn't watch, but I'm sure, I mean, he was going to be a top-two pick. It's him and Fernando Mendoza. Then Washington, the defensive tackle, I had a one on. I thought he was awesome.
There you go.
And then who was the, Mateo Ngolele.
Yeah.
He was like a two or three guy, depending on what you thought about him.
Yeah, so, I mean, big news for Oregon. I guess Dylan Raiola is just ready to ride the bench for a year.
Yeah.
Can
he leave again? Can he pick up and go? Another day, right?
I think they've talked him into, so Moore did this, where he sat behind Dylan Gabriel, and then now it's been the starter. So Raiola, I think they're selling like, hey, sit for a year behind Moore, learn the system, and
then
you'll be the
million
guy
dollars?
Afterwards. Yeah, and he's still going to get his NIL money. I mean, I've been going back and
kinda
forth with people on X, like, for Moore.
Like Manning?
Yes, similar to Manning.
Do you like this choice for him to stay at school?
I do. I think we're now getting a lot of information where these quarterbacks that are having the less than 20 starts in their college career, the transition to the league has not gone well. I do think, obviously, situation matters a ton. The situation right now is looking like the Jets, and I don't think anybody wants to go to the Jets. So I the argument I've been having with people is, how much money could he possibly lose? And there is a chance when you look at next year's quarterback class, but I do want to just put it into everyone's mind coming into this year. We thought the first round was going to look like Cade Klubnik, Nussmeier,
Drew
Sellers,
Aller.
Drew Aller. These guys are nowhere to be found in first
Lagway.
Or second round mock drafts. Lagway, absolutely. So a lot can change. There are still NFL evaluators that think Dante Moore, no matter what the class is for next year, whether it's Arch Manning in that, all the quarterbacks, you know, Sellers, still could be the best. So you'll have Sam Levitt, the LSU kid that's part of that thing. But I think this is a smart move for him, big picture, for him to refine his skill set.
Very difficult decision. I think he does need more experience. He's got an incredible talent base to build from, and I think he's got a potential to be one of the top quarterbacks out there. But I think so many things are weighing negatively on your mind. It's the Jets. You know, what am I hearing from teams that might want a quarterback but don't want to be patient and build with me? You know, if it's not the Jets, then I could go back half of the first round. And then the money that you can still make in college, and that there's just
right.
Once you start that NFL clock, you know, you're going to get that first round pick guaranteed money. That's it. That's all of your guarantees. So why not try to bank $3 to $8 more million bucks before you even leave college? I think if you're looking at it like bare minimum nest egg, what am I going to have at 26, 27 years old if I bust in the NFL? You got to maximize the college paycheck first.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on board with what he's doing here. In Oregon, they got a lot of guys returning. As you mentioned, guys that could have gone to the NFL draft or just guys that aren't draft eligible
yet. Phil Knight
yet.
Must have really opened up that thing.
Yeah, he's going to make the bag, and they're going to be another playoff team. You have a chance to go win the Natty. And I think Danny Cannell is going to join us tomorrow. He's like, book it. Next year, it's Texas versus Oregon in the Natty. Yeah, like, that's what he's stamping right now. So I think it's a fair move here. At 20 years old, and you know you're in a great situation, and you're going to make plenty of money, This is all fine for him. And this is really good for Ty Simpson, who now probably becomes QB2 in the draft. And he did an interview with On3 Sports, and it's true. Like, it was Tennessee, Ole Miss, Miami. Miami willing to get to $6.5 million for him to go there. But he says he built a legacy, and he didn't want to at Alabama, and he didn't want to be remembered for just being the guy that took the money and went to a different program. So, I mean, we'll see how that pays off for him. But that's another guy with not that many college starts under his belt. Could have made $6.5 million, but the Alabama loyalty, he says, no, I can't do it.
Do you think there's a chance, and I haven't studied these quarterbacks, do you think there's a chance the Ole Miss quarterback goes before him in the draft?
I do think there's a chance. Yeah, I do think there's a chance. Chambliss?
Yeah.
Yes. I think there absolutely is a chance of that because Ty Simpson has plenty of flaws. It's not like this is some surefire. You're in one of these draft classes where you know, oh, this guy's great. Like, Ty Simpson is a guy that if you told me he was drafted in the bottom third of the first round, I would believe you. Mm. Now with Dante Moore, he probably gets pushed up a little bit more. But, yeah, throughout the draft process, I think that could easily go Chambliss' way. So there's the Darty.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. All right, most afternoons, 2:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We got Tim Cato coming up to talk Mavs with you next here on The Fan.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.